Hi, this is Charlie Shackleton, the director of The Afterlight, and you're listening to an audio description of the film written and performed by me. This recording does not include the film's mono soundtrack, which exists only on the film's single 35mm print. I therefore recommend playing the audio description at a low enough volume to still hear the film's sound beneath it, or listening with only one ear. In a moment, I'm going to tell you to pause the recording. To synchronize the audio description with the film, you will need to then unpause when you hear the sound of static, which accompanies the film's first image, around 15 seconds into the projection. I'll now say 3, 2, 1, and then the word pause, which will mark the recording's pause point. I hope you enjoy the film. 3, 2, 1. Pause. A monochrome mountain vista stretches out in all directions. As the camera pans, it continues on without end. A cut to a second landscape, peeking out from behind trees. And a third, blanketed with snow. This procession of scenes continues, transporting us to a barren desert and a wooded hilltop. A young man crosses the hill, lighting a cigarette as he goes. One figure travels a gravel path in the distance. Another treks across the open desert. One by one, they walk. In various directions, yet somehow in sync. With each cut, the scenery shifts as sharply as the soundtrack. But for the many disparate figures who appear on screen, the journey simply goes on. An older man in a thick coat stops in a church courtyard, beneath a hanging bell. He lifts a rock from the ground and throws it. A young woman parading through a field of wheat looks over her shoulder. Perhaps she hears the bell ring out. But no sooner has one location been established than another takes its place. From rural side street to desolate swamp, and with every cut, the tactile quality of the image shifts as well. A black man crosses a street lined with early motor cars beneath crackling grain and scratches. while a white man ventures through a vision of rural France that's soft but pristine. Gradually, night falls. As fragment by fragment, the sky grows ever darker. Slowly, these solitary figures begin to converge as they're drawn into the quiet streets of the city. A stern man walks with dogged purpose until brought to a halt by a sound. Slowed in their tracks, they search for the music's source. Soon, they find what they're looking for. A dark corner bar with a neon sign above the door, the afterlight. Together, they make their way towards the entrance. A jovial man stops just outside. "Hey guys, shall we go in and have a drink?" Other figures seem to heed his call, stepping forward into the doorway. Inside, the place is humming with life. patrons vie for service at the bar in a scratched fragment from the early days of cinema, while a cautious man in a shirt and tie sidles in from the street. Even the stars of silent cinema are here. Every corner of the bar is abuzz with activity. Some drink alone, soaking in the atmosphere, while others carouse with the crowd. At the bar, a phone call is made, while an authoritative man waits to speak with the bartender. Connections are forged as eyes glance across the room and conversation flows. "What a pleasant evening," observes one woman. "Pleasant in your presence," replies an admirer. As great quantities of beer are drained from their glasses, a solitary man glances over his shoulder. In a far corner of the bar, a waitress conveys a drink, while at the next table, heated conversation ensues. "That's all life is," says an older man, "alcohol and dirt." Nearby, a fly tracks its way across a table, stalked by the hand of a drinker. Until it's crushed suddenly by his companion. At the door, a swaggering woman comes in from the cold. A group of older men seem not to notice. Perched at the bar, a scruffily dressed man holds court. "It's not good to drink, as a rule. It makes you drunk and sick. But sometimes you've got to drink. Am I right? Even if I was wrong, I'd be right today. Just this once. Because this is no ordinary day. It's a special day." At the other end of the bar, a beer arrives. "It's the sixth beer he's bought me," says its recipient, "when he knows I don't like beer. Nonetheless, he downs it in one." The bartender is growing impatient with the old man. "Have you brought money today?" "What do I owe you?" he replies. "Take it from this." He slaps a note down onto the bar. The bartender gives it a look over and declares, "It's counterfeit." Meanwhile, a man in a white suit makes his way up to a stage as the bartender turns down the music. Curtains pull back to reveal a woman with an intense stare, performing for the rapt audience. Around the room, excitement builds as the performance goes on, all eyes fixed on the charismatic singer under the spotlight. Some of the bar's patrons begin to dance as the music gathers pace. Others simply watch on, bleary-eyed, nursing their drinks. At the bar, a waitress gathers tall bottles on a tray. Turning back to the room, she begins to waver on her feet, until finally she collapses. In a far corner, one man asks a companion, "What else is there?" "Perhaps," comes the reply. Drinks are poured as calm returns to the bar. "I guess spring is here," says one of the old men. "Yeah, damn it." A coin is placed in the jukebox and it creaks into life. A man, sitting alone, sparks a lighter, then watches the flame flicker until he snuffs it out. At the far end of the room, the bartender scolds a waiter. "Hey, the music is over. Go clear the tables. Move it." Elsewhere, patrons begin to wind things down. Final drinks are tossed back, possessions are gathered up for the road. Under a blanket of scratches and grain, a tab is settled. While an imposing man pushes close to a solitary woman and receives a drink to the face. "Come on, it'll be better if we go too," says an anxious man with thinning hair at the side of the room. "Where to?" asks another. "Just go, don't worry about me," comes the response from his friend. One woman looks up from her table as the bar empties. Another idles on her feet. Soon, the bar is deserted, though the jukebox plays on. Outside, the bar's patrons return to the street. Some hesitantly, others with newfound direction. Before long, they're alone once more. Steps on concrete give way to softer earth, to grass and leaves and twigs. The path returns to nature, as branches are pushed aside and foliage trampled. An older man slows to a stop, sensing something in the air. Another turns his head to face the sky. Still they walk, pelted by rain and buffeted by wind. One man runs to seek shelter under a bandstand. Others find refuge from the elements at the base of trees, or huddled in caves. A lone man surrenders to the rain, soaking on a city bench. In a worn fragment, older than the rest, rain cascades down on stone steps without a sound. Forced to wait the storm out, a woman hovers anxiously beneath an awning. A couple in the same position share conversation. "I feel a bit dizzy," says the woman. "I drank some of the bottle to see what it's like to be drunk."
"And did you?"
"I think so. I'm happy and want to laugh and can't sleep." At last, these myriad figures return home, closing the door behind them to keep the downpour at bay. A nervous young man lights a candle. Its light fills this and other rooms. One by one, they adjust to the calm of the interior as the storm rages on outside. A melancholy young man returns to his desk. Another man pens a letter at his own. The storm is never far from their minds. The gale rages on as we fade to black. A curtain is thrust open as a shopkeeper greets the new morning outside. The last of the previous night's rainfall taps at the window as a younger man appears at the door. "Why are you up so early?" he inquires. "Why don't you sleep in?" "No, the day is too short for that," the older man replies. "I don't know how much time I have left to spend." Outside, the last of the rain dries up, leaving only a wash of sedate cloud to fill the sky. A succession of fragments capture various skies, formations of cloud that took shape above the earth for just a moment, but cast their shadow on film. Each cluster a product of the atmosphere in which it formed. Though our view is fixed skyward, we begin to sense the earth below, and then the ocean, vast and tumultuous. Endless crashing waves embedded in the grain. Slowly we pull towards the shore, waves tumbling into rock pools and battering cliffs. On the beach, a man awakens to find a young couple staring down at him. "I must have fallen asleep. What time is it?" "Around 4, I should think." "I'm fine, I can assure you." "Good day, then." They scamper away as the man clambers to his feet. A journey starts up once more, as various figures traverse the deserted beach. Soon the shore is a memory, growing more distant with every step. A smartly dressed older man approaches a slatted door. A pair of feet stop momentarily on the threshold of a building before stepping inside. In the lobby, a vast staircase looms. One by one, they begin to ascend. Reaching a door, a determined woman has second thoughts. Another figure withdraws his hand from the door handle. Finally, the door opens, and a woman steps inside, holding a bouquet of flowers. She takes a seat, raising a hand to her forehead. Another woman crushes dried flowers in her grip. "Damn," says a man, crossing the room to deposit himself in an armchair. Rising up from her seat, a young woman begins to make a bed. Then she pauses, as though sensing something in the air around her. An adolescent girl is likewise stopped in her tracks. She approaches the window. Gripped by nervous energy, a man throws his hat and jacket to the bed. Crossing to a phonograph, he begins to leaf through vinyl records. A woman entertaining two house guests approaches her own record collection. Before another man lifts the needle and places it on the surface of the record. One by one, they listen intently as the strange record plays on. One woman stares into the distance, caught in a reverie. Another climbs wearily into bed. A man holds tight to a woman's arm as they listen. As his temper rises, he lunges for the turntable. Another couple quarrel over the record. "Why are you doing this? You know I don't like it." "I don't know," she replies. "I was playing records and I came across this one." He snatches for it. "Careful, you'll break it. It's the only record left." Leaving behind the phonograph, these disparate figures explore the domestic space around them. One woman takes a seat in an armchair, only to rise back up, moving restlessly to the window. Another reaches for a phone book and begins to flip through the pages. A man in a wicker chair reads a newspaper, only to be distracted by some unseen force in the room around him. He gets up and explores the space, though there's no hint of a disturbance. He thrusts open a chest of drawers, then slams it shut, collapsing into tears. Others too hang their heads in contemplation, shame, or regret. Grain crackles over their still forms. A woman stands halfway down the staircase of a family home. Frozen in caution, she slips her shoes off, one by one. Others too seem caught in indecision, nervously rubbing their hands. hunched forward in thought. One woman, calmer than the rest, takes a long drag on a cigarette. A child's hand absent-mindedly spins the upturned wheel of a wheelbarrow. A furtive woman in a tightly knotted scarf takes an envelope and deposits it in the drawer of a bedside table before balancing an open book delicately on its surface. Finally, she drags a rocking chair across the room to face her. As she sits on the bed, watching it ride back and forth. Another woman tosses her bag down onto an antique chair, before removing her coat and throwing it on top. A stiff, anguished figure clasps her hands before her as she paces the length of a bedroom. Coming to a stop by the bed, she wordlessly grasps her forehead in terror. The eyes of another woman dart around the room in fright. While an anonymous figure stands motionless at a window. Meanwhile, a flicker of suspicion crosses the face of a man in a bright white suit. Another man fretfully examines his hands and forearms, tearing his jacket from his body for a closer look. Concerned, he approaches a mirror, pulling off his shirt and tie to inspect his arms. Reaching up to his face, he strokes the side of his cheek, momentarily reassured. Then falls back into anguish. Others are likewise lost in despair. A middle-aged man with tousled hair, his shirt frayed and distressed. An unseen figure, shaking with upset, his back turned to the camera. A teenage girl, obscured by shadow, wide awake in bed. In another bed, a woman sits up taking notes until the lights go out. The stream of fragments continues. Only now each is filled with nothing but darkness. "Oh, it's a blackout," says a voice from the abyss. Slowly, small streaks of light break through the darkness. A match illuminates the face of an older man we've seen before. Other faces, too, emerge from the shadows. They watch and wait, eyes cast in no particular direction. Some mark the time by smoking in alleyways, back streets, perched on the ends of piers. One man staggers through the darkness of an old house. Another climbs its stairs. Reaching the top, a young woman gasps in recognition as she spies her elder and offers to light a lamp. "A fuse must have gone," says another woman, flicking a switch in vain. "There's no lamp," a man replies. "Do you think?" She trails off. A young child fidgets in a chair by an open window as the camera drifts slowly towards her. Other faces glance through windows, then back inside, down at the floor. A solemn man with a thin moustache lowers his head in prayer. A teenage boy strikes a match to light a cigarette, watched on by his date. A woman with a torch paces an empty corridor. Torchlight clears the path for another woman as she searches for the origin of the melody that lingers in the air. A man with a candle seeks the answer too. And here it is, a young man, reclined with a music box. "Dented, rusty, and worthless," he remarks, with what sounds like a melody. A woman asks her suitor, "Are the walls thin here?" "No," he says. "Are you going to scream?" She leads him over to a grand piano and takes a seat behind it. Though the music plays on, for the first time, images appear from elsewhere. A man with a mournful expression, hanging his head in exhaustion. Two men, crouched on the floor, who look up in surprise. Crossing the room, the new arrival comes to a stop and slumps into an armchair. A young man, his collar unbuttoned, takes a seat on the edge of a bed and raises his hand to his neck. A couple, silent on rocking chairs. A woman roused from the edge of sleep by the arrival of a girl. "Where have you been?" she asks. "A cuckoo was singing, so I went to listen." The girl climbs into her own bed. "They say it's very rare to hear it. And right on cue, she sits up. It's calling." Pensive figures stand and stare at faded paintings. In one, a woman with striking features stares out defiantly. Across from the old woman's wedding photograph, a mirror reveals the face of a younger woman, studying her own reflection. Others now find themselves in mirrors as they brush their hair, examine their own appearances, and think on things unsaid. A young girl sneaks up on a smartly dressed man, but otherwise they stand alone. A final woman catches her reflection. Her mouth opens into a scream, cut off before it makes a sound. Another woman hands a man a wallet, and he chuckles to himself. A flurry of images, some ravaged by deterioration, now surge onto the screen, each capturing a moment long past and yet somehow present. As they build, their connections grow looser, a field of wheat, a stranded boat, a tornado of celluloid decay. Eventually, this volatile montage gives way simply to faces. Expressions of joy and fear and hope and loss. One after another, there and then gone for good. in the piano's wake, sheep music and dying flowers, littering an empty room. A woman with a suitcase descends a set of wooden steps and continues onto the street. Others, too, begin their journey anew. Slowing to a stop, a man reaches for the door handle of a parked car. Rubbing tired eyes, a woman waits by her own vehicle. In a silent fragment, another woman climbs into the front seat. Then, through a fog of crackle and grain, the car pulls away. As the long journey continues, our travelers find themselves confined to the interiors of these anonymous vehicles. At times, they look over and seem to catch one another's gaze. One man asks, "Did you have a nice trip?" "Yes," responds another, "but it's been at least 10 years since I've been back." For the most part, though, they simply wait the journey out, lighting cigarettes and sitting with their thoughts. Beyond the windscreen, the sun sinks below the horizon as they drive on. One woman, racked with anxiety, lets out a fevered gasp. But most simply sit, stoic, gliding mile by mile towards their destination. Headlights pierce through the darkness as one car pulls to the side of the road. A driver exits his vehicle, and another steps up onto the pavement. Their pilgrimage continues on foot. The path ahead is indistinct, shrouded in shadow and gloom. Beneath the light of a street lamp, a figure comes fleetingly into view, before disappearing back into the darkness. On the faces of these travelers, varied expressions of resolve, unease, and caution. One man absent-mindedly kicks a can as he goes. Another stares up ahead at his destination. Reaching the bar, a third man steps inside. All camaraderie has drained from the place. The gathered patrons sit silently in their chairs. At the bar, a woman asks, "What is it? Aren't you pleased to be back? I imagined my return so differently," a man replies. Together they drink. "We must get used to it," she says. Another man waits blankly to order. "What do you want?" "Cognac," he says. "Here you go," says the bartender, and the man raises the glass to his lips. A young woman leads an older man, unsteady on his feet, into the room. They too approach the bar. Two men in uniform grow impatient for service. In a silent fragment, a smartly dressed man shouts his order from where he sits, the sound of his voice having never been recorded. as drinks are poured, a man sitting at the bar poses a question. Ever go to the movies? Once in a while, says the bartender. You ought to go more often. A coin drops into the jukebox and once again it hums into life. Around the bar, lonesome figures absorb the music wordlessly. For a while at least, it seems to demand their full attention. In one corner, a man and a woman quietly slow dance. They're watched on by a man in a fit of drunken despair. Rising to his feet in a daze, the contents of his table go flying. A waiter clears up around two other patrons. But most of those present remain alone, watching one another from across the room. One anguished man gulps down a bottle of whiskey. Laughing, an onlooker observes, "He's a beginner, but he finished it off in one go." A third man drops his head into his hands. Nearby, another conversation is overheard. "So how's Lulu?" "I don't want to talk about Lulu," protests a sullen man with a cigarette in his hand. Two whiskies are requested at the bar. And as the other patrons watch on, a man in a thick coat steps forward to order. As the bartender wipes down the surface between them, his movements grow uncannily slow until they begin to stagger, revealing each individual frame of the maneuver. Eventually, he freezes entirely. Startled, the man in the coat looks back at the static bartender. Dropping his drink, he leaves a coin and makes for the exit. Other patrons seem not to notice the incident, continuing their own nocturnal rituals. A woman in fancy clothes sits across from a man with slick black hair. "Don't you recognize me?" she asks him. He lowers his head into his hands. And now, frame by frame, he too begins to freeze up. The stillness of the scene unnerves. One man, restless, crosses the room. Gesturing to an acquaintance, he begins to speak. "If I tell the mountain of my troubles," he says, the mountain will melt. His friend does not react. Instead, he too begins to freeze up. "Why are you looking at me like that?" demands the man. "A malingerer and a slacker. Look at him." The faces of so many now hang in suspended animation around the room, frozen in a moment of final exposure. "You saw me just a minute ago," says the well-dressed woman. "Don't you remember?" There comes no response. Across the room, a distracted man nurses a beer bottle, looking up to glance at another table. As he bares his soul, the man's date does not respond. Instead, she sits in silence, and then slowly, she too begins to freeze. Now, there are many such figures, all caught in flickering stillness. In a far corner, the restless man again takes to his feet. "Don't look at me that way," he scolds his frozen acquaintance. "Tell him not to look at me like that." But it's no use. All around the room are faces rendered static and cold. The man with the beer bottle peels its label away and begins to roll it in his hands. Now, he too slows to an eventual stop. One by one, these final frames take their place upon the screen, grain dancing across their unyielding surface. In each, a snapshot of a life lived, a performance given, now reduced to its most elemental form. Returning to the bartender, we hold and wait on his image. Then cut to black. The Afterlight was directed and assembled by Charlie Shackleton. It was produced by Catherine Bray, Anthony Ng, and Charlie Shackleton. Original cinematography was by Robbie Ryan. Original music was by Jeremy Wormsley. Sound design was by Charlie Shackleton, with additional sound by Eleanor McDowell and mixing by Tom Jenkins. This audio description was written and performed by Charlie Shackleton. Thank you for listening.